you're on fire the following year. The club won the treble up against the Celtic team that got to the UEFA Cup final. Mm-hmm. You won the PFA and the Writers' Play of the Year. Uh-huh. Where does that season rank in terms of your achievements?
That season, I get moved. I think was that a season I scored 20 goals. I think something like 19.
Just off the front, were you?
Dick moved me a bit further forward. He shuffled me at that stage. The midfielders that we had in that team, I mean, there was 6-7 quality midfielders going for three places. Mm. So he shuffled it about a wee bit, and he moved me further forward a couple of games, and I scored a few goals, and he left me that season, and then I think the following season, then he pulled me and says, listen, how long do you want to play football for? And I was like, I want to play football. What are you talking about? How long do you want to play? Do you want to play into your mid-30s, late-30s? I says, of course, I want to play as long as I can. Need to go back to number six then, because that's where you'll play the longest. If you kind of look at it, for players like that play further forward, they don't play as long. Maybe Lampard's an exception, but even guys like Gerrard and that played further forward, moved back away. Mm-hmm. So, that was a great season then to win the Writers' Award. Was great. It was.
What role did you prefer? Did you prefer playing six or off the front?
Preferred six.
Did you? Why? Mm-hmm. Just so you could dictate the game?
I like going and getting the ball and starting moves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, it was great scoring goals. There's no better feeling. You know yourself, it's great when you score goals. But six was always my position. It was always for a young age. Again, it was similar when I started off. I played further forward when I was 7 or 8. And then I went back and I kept going back and forth a wee bit, but always preferred sitting in the middle of the park. That was my number one position now.
So you beat Dunfermline to win the league. Mm-hmm. Celebrations must have been mental. You've got the cup final the next weekend. How mm-hmm. did you manage to recover in time?
It's a good question. I don't know how I managed to recover.
Is it all week?
It was the Dunfermline game. You don't get a lot of conspiracies. Listen, at that stage, Dunfermline, some good players, decent players. So we knew we had to score a certain amount of goals. That day, I could sense in the dressing room that the guys were bang on it. A few boys were quiet, but concentrating on the job in hand and went out and done it. And the celebrations maybe went a day too much, because obviously we played Dundee a week later in the cup final. And I think, if I'm correct in saying, marks out of 10 that day, I think the highest was 4. I was buzzing to get a 3. I was expecting a 2. Dundee were a better team. Uh-huh. We probably over-celebrated, but listen, the way we won it against Dunfermline, you know what I mean, the league, and then going on to the Dundee game, Dundee were Big Ammo scored the goal, I think, against Dundee. Dundee were all at the topish. You know, it was a horrible game, 1-0. Dundee better team. But listen, end of the day, we won the game.
And then you're right back on it again.
Then we were celebrating again. Aye, so the liver was a bit sore for the next couple of weeks after that.
And then that season, Rangers qualify for the group stages of the Champions League, mm-hmm. and you leave the club. Why was that?
The year before, there was a number of clubs that were interested in me. I wasn't interested in leaving. I'll be honest with you. Played that season, as we just previously talked about, Dunfermline, Dundee. And then there was, again, a couple of clubs had come in for us. I kind of just let the club deal with it. I didn't want to play it on my mind, but at that stage, the club were needing a bit of money at that stage. And they had to meet a valuation, and Blackburn met the valuation. I knew that week leading up to the Copenhagen game, that was my last game. Did I want to leave? In hindsight, I probably shouldn't have left. I should have stayed another season.
So did you feel there was no choice in the matter?
No, they needed money. Listen, at the end of the day, the decision is left with me. Mm-hmm. But I spoke to Graham Souness, who, again, was one of my heroes. I know I was only young when he came to Rangers, but I spoke to him a couple of times on the phone. I'm back to Rangers, and they're like, ah, look, they've met the valuation now. Went down to speak to them, and I knew as soon as I signed, I knew a week later, I'd made a mistake.
Why?
I just didn't feel right. No. Didn't feel right.
I think you've said before you missed the intensity of Rangers.
Aye, it was a strange one. Listen, Blackburn were a great club. The people running about the club, some of the players they had. They had two guys was there, Amo was there. Yorkie, Dwight York up front, Andy Cole, Lucas Neal, Brad Friedel. We had proper players. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't get the gun out. And if you drew a game or you get beat a game, you never really get booed. I couldn't get my head round about that. And then I got a bad injury. Newcastle, actually, Gary Speed bumped into Gary Speed. His knee hit mine and I fractured my kneecap and done my ligaments, my knee. So that made it even worse. Been away and at that stage, the family moved down. We got a house down there and the kids and that come down and they were settled. Missus was settled. But in the back of my head, I needed put under pressure in games in terms of having to go out. Listen, I know all teams want to go out and win, but I'm saying it's a disaster up here if you don't win. Down there it wasn't like that.
Especially when you're used to playing for trophies every year and then it's...
To finish in the top 10 is that an achievement down there at that stage, you know what I mean? Our top six would be unbelievable, but it was different. It was a different mindset. I mean, the guys were top players, but... you're used to going for trophies, you're used to winning things, you're used to having that pressure on top of you. And then Souness left and Mark Hughes came in, and what a coach he was.
Was he good at it?
He was brilliant.
Uh-huh. What, on the training ground?
He was brilliant. And I really enjoyed my time under him. Mm-hmm. Again, I had a couple of clubs that came in for me down in England, Souness wanted to take me up to Newcastle. Another couple of clubs inquired about me. And then got a phone call for Rangers saying, would you come back? And that was me. I just turned again. My head was turned. After moving the family down, I felt bad. That was selfish. That was selfish for me. Mm. But listen, when your team, who you support, comes calling again, I went back up the road and that was us.
How was Souness as a manager? Because he seems like a real hard guy.
No mess.
Somebody told me a story. He smashed Dwight York in training. Is that true?
Aye. Five sides. Aye. If he didn't like you, that was you.
What you were doing?
Just organised a five-a-side game and you put the teams up and there was a staff team. How's a staff playing in this? This is the first team. And him and Yorkie weren't getting on with each other and he just went and done them.
That's the way he dealt with things, huh?
Aye, tough cookie when you mess a bit.
In games? Were you ever on the receiving end?
He had a go at me a few times. But he was great. Listen, top player. Uh-huh. But I tell you, I'll go back, Walter Smith was more fierce than him.
Was he really, huh?
I feared Walter more than I did Souness.
Would you ever answer Walter Smith back?
No, I tried to, once.
And what happened?
I thought he was going to kill me. I did, seriously, I shot myself.
Did you, huh?
Aye.
Would he get up in your face, huh?
Aye, so I learned my lesson pretty quick there.
Uh-huh. So after that, nothing scared you, huh?
He was fierce. Souness was as well, but Walter had more fear about him. But see, when a Souness walked in and a Walter walked in, the room, all that respect, you could feel that. Uh-huh. Everybody sat up and took notice. Uh-huh. And I liked that about people. I liked that about players. Some players done that as well.
What sort of players would have done that?
It's like Arthur done that. But looking back, it was like Gaza, even Richard Goff at the time, he was a leader. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? They would walk in and you'd be like, right. He's in the dressing room.
Say, aye. What was Mark Hughes' reaction when you told me?
He wasn't happy. Yeah. I remember in saying to him, and he's like, why? I want to build a team round about you. And I was adamant. That was the start of January, I think. And he came back to me about 5 days later. He's like, look, I really want you to stay. Are you 100%? This is what we want. I think there was money owed between the clubs. Right. So... I think Blackburn owed a certain amount of money towards Rangers and they just wrote that off and I went back up the road. But he did say to me, he wanted to keep me and build the team round about us. If you're 100% certain and gone, I need to go and sign a replacement and you went and get Robbie Savage. He signed Robbie Savage. So then I knew when Sav came in, I knew, right, I can go. But it went right to the last. I signed me about 10 minutes to go at that transfer window.
Were you worried it wasn't going to happen?
Aye, it looked, it was off the day the window shutting. Everything was agreed about 12 o'clock. I come up the road, it was off at 4, back on at 6, off at 8. And then never heard that until I'd done my medical and whatever, they still, because I had a bad injury doing it at Blackburn. So they sent me through to Edinburgh instead of Glasgow, because people were hunting about trying to get us. So I went through to Edinburgh and done it. Everything was okay with the medical, and then it was off, on, off, on. And then eventually, 10 minutes before the window shut, the paperwork went in and it was done.
And how was that feeling?
It was a good feeling to come back. But again, I thought, if this doesn't happen, I'm back after saying that to Blackburn. And Blackburn were, be fair to Mark Cusey, was good enough to realise that. I think he's seen in my eyes that what Rangers meant to us. Yeah. He knew what it was, he knew it meant a lot to me. But if I went back there, I would have been in limbo until the summer again. So that was at the back of my mind, but thankfully it went through.
How did you find it in the English Premier League yourself, the standard-wise compared to you? Do you think you're one of the top midfielders in that league? Or could have been if you weren't injured?
That was one of the reasons why I wanted to go down and play. A lot of people say about the success, but I think if you ask people when I was down there, I'd a good time. I went up against the best, you know what I mean? And on my day, you've got to believe, you know what it's like? You've got to believe. You kind of go out thinking, oh, I'm coming up against Steven Gerrard here or Paul Scholes, or they're better than me. You've got to ask what you want to do. You want to challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go down. But I had a good time at Blackburn. Good club, good players. But you know what it's like when your team you support want you back. You got to come back up. A lot of people criticised it. I knew when I come back up, I was probably a decent amount of fans weren't happy that I left in the first place, and they weren't happy that I come back. But you know what? That's part of football. I had to prove them wrong and make sure that I put the performances in.
Was it strange coming back, especially when you came back? Were you expecting to be captain straight away? Or
no. Listen, that was one of the things that I said straight away. It's not, listen, my time had been as captain, that's the way I looked at it. Fernando was captain, wasn't interested. I know I'd seen a few things in the press that was one of my demands. I wanted to be captain, but a lot of bollocks. Mm-hmm. Fernando was the captain. I just wanted to come back up and play. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't concerned about the captaincy. Listen, end of the day, it's great, but Fernando was doing a great job, so why? There was no need to change it.
Was it different not being captain? Because you'd obviously been captain for Rangers for so long. Did you act differently, or was it just straight?
No,
back to the
same? I'm one of the ones. Say, if you ask any of the guys that I played with, I was always a motivator. You know what I mean? I was always like in the dressing room, like, come on, this is what we're up against. Or, you know, the stuff that goes on in the dressing room. It wasn't any different for me. I still wanted to win, and I was still the same person. Because you know what it's like at clubs that you've played at. For me, there's three or four captains in the team. You know, the guys that could easily be captain. When I was captain at Rangers, we had seven or eight that could have been captain easy. Mm-hmm. So when I come back up, there was no problem for me. No problem whatsoever.
The helicopter Sunday year, what gave Rangers the edge that year?
I don't know. It wasn't the best Rangers team I've played in. But in terms of spirit, was unbelievable. We had a never-say-die attitude. And it was surreal. That was a surreal game, that. It was at Easter Road.
Did you expect Celtic to beat Motherwell?
Aye, but you've got to... You did expect. There's no doubt. The team at Celtic had, I was thinking the back of my mind. I wouldn't say to him at that stage, but I'm thinking, Celtic have got it there. I've got to go and win the game. I expect them to go and win the game. But listen, you've got to go out with hope that you've got to do your job first and make sure that you get the result. And it was mad. It was mad how it happened. I mean, at the end, when Scotty McDonald scored the goal, you knew for the fans' reaction, mm-hmm. we were getting shouts for the dugout. And then Hibs at that stage could qualify for Europe, I think, mm-hmm. if they only get beat with a single goal. So we were in our half. Hibs when they come out. So we were just passing the ball about for about 3 or 4 minutes. No pressure or anything, we just kept the ball. And then the whistle went and it happened. So you've got to go, you've still got to be professional at the back. I mean, I wouldn't have said that in the dressing room, but looking at Celtic's team, I fully expected them to go and go and win that game, but you've got to go out and do your job first. And listen, it happened, it was great for us.
After that season that he's won the league on the last day, the following season was a poor season for the club, finishing third behind Hearts, I think it was. What do you think went wrong that year?
Just didn't listen, see, as professional, you've got to hold your hands up. It wasn't good enough. The performances that we were putting in just wasn't up to Rangers standards. That's as simple as you can put it down. It's not about getting in, but listen, we worked hard, we had plenty of meetings about it. And again, plenty of arguments in the dressing room, like, no happy with what's going on. And again, I didn't mind that side of it. It was guys, for me, when somebody starts arguing or lets their feelings known, that shows me that they care. And there was boys in that dressing room that did care about it. But listen, at the end of the day, it's no good enough. It wasn't good enough.
See, if you're training, like, can you tell when is training not as good? See, is when you're doing well, is training buzzing? And then when you're not doing so well, is it flat through the week?
You know yourself when you're going through a sticky patch, the training isn't up to the standards it should be, you know what I mean? And you might be trying to do something in training. It's like in a game, see if it wasn't going well for me in a game. I always stick in my mind, it was my dad always says to me, make something happen. I'm like, what are you talking about? Go and tackle somebody. Go and hit somebody, but let them know you're there. Get a reaction for the fans. And that's what I try to do in training and in a game when it wasn't going well. I remember Walter Smith, I don't know if you remember that, Mick Sue Park Line, and he just started arguing with him at the side for no reason at all. And the fans went mental. And that's what I used to do in a game. Like, miss time a tackle. No trying to hurt anybody, but... And then the fans would go mental. And then you'd look round about and the boys would get a buzz off it. But you would have to take a booking for it. But I think that's game management, you know what I mean? That's you trying to get a reaction. But that season's not good enough. It wasn't good enough and it's not acceptable.
Were boys nervous in that going into games when they weren't doing well?
Aye, but I mean, listen, when you're there, you've got 50,000, but certainly at home, they come with expectation of you winning. And when you're not winning, some people handle pressures differently. For me, if I was getting criticised, I try to use it in a positive way. If I seen, I don't care what any football player says, they read papers.
Do they?
That's nonsense. I don't read papers. I see so many guys doing interviews, and I think I'd done an interview when I was playing saying, I don't read papers. I read papers. I used to read them every Monday morning. And the first thing you do is, what did I get there? Oh, no, I got a 5. But do you know what I used to do with it? I used to rip it out, put it in my pocket, and then I used to think, right, do you know what? I need to go and prove this guy wrong. At one stage, I had doubts about that.
I had to buy bigger trousers.
But I used to put them in my locker. I used to actually pin them up in my locker. We had wee shelves, and I used to put the snippets in there.
Really,
And I used to go and look at them, but that was a motivation for me. Some people maybe looked at me and said, you're maybe no right in the head. But that's what I used to do.
Everyone in the team read the papers on a Monday morning? Would they get passed a bit?
Listen, they used to come up for breakfast and the papers would be there.
Could some boys not deal with that? See, getting 3 and 4s in the... Would you see boys looking at
them? Listen, I don't know about dealing with it, but you do look at them. You do. And listen, you can't hide for the fact that... See, if you don't read the paper... Some of the boys, one of the guys that were reading the papers, saying, oh, you, look at you, you get 4, but you were murdered on Saturday. You know what I mean? So they would let you know. So that's what I'd done. I took them down and I put them in my wee ducat bit in my locker, and I would go and look at them, maybe leading up to a game, and think, right, you know what, I need to go and prove this guy wrong. But the press have got a job to do. It's their opinion, and you've got to respect it. But you know yourself. See, when you're no playing well or no firing, you're going to get criticism, especially at Rangers.
Club like Rangers, So that following year, Paul Le Guin comes in. When his name first got linked to the job, were you excited?
I look forward to it. His record at Lyon was...
Did you speak to him before he came in to start the job? No.
I don't know if anybody did, really, but we knew he was getting the job. And automatically, hadn't really heard him. But obviously knew he was manager at Lyon right away. You're going the internet and check him up and see what what he was all about, and his record was great at Lyon.
So when did the concerns start to kick in? Was it early doors?
I'll go on record and say I never had one bust up with him, never had one argument with him. I don't know where all this comes from. I just think he came in and thought, I just think he got a shock at how big Rangers was.
Right.
I think he got a shock.
But see, the pre-season or not?
Pre-season was totally different from what I've ever experienced. In terms of his layout, what he was wanting to do in pre-season. All the long runs, remember you used to do longer runs when you were 16, 17? We used to go and do like 45-minute runs. As the years went on, it got shorter and shorter it was more with the ball and running with the ball, or shorter stuff. Because if you think about it, I know you need to get a bit of long running in, you know what I mean, to boost the stamina. But his pre-season was he loved that. I mean, after looking into it, he was a long distance runner and all that sort of stuff. He used to go and run in desert treks and all that sort of stuff. But his pre-season, it wasn't enjoyable, but do you know what? You've got to go and do it. He's a manager. It's put in the front of you. It was totally different to what I was used to. But I never had an argument, man. I never fell out with him. All these stuff that came out, that there was a small group of guys that were going against him. No, I tell you what, I was guilty. I was guilty of letting it build up inside me. When we were playing and we were going through difficult times, and when he was coming in and telling the team, it's okay, we must stick together and we move on to next week, I was letting it build up inside. I don't know if you remember the game we played Inverness Cali.
Oh, yeah.
2-1, they beat us up there. We scored, I think I got fouled for the penalty. We went 1-0 up. They beat us 2-1. Deservedly beat us 2-1 in the second half. They wanted it more. And they came in and they said the same thing, and I just let rip. I just, this is Rangers. This isn't acceptable. There's no chance now. If I'm guilty of speaking out and speaking my mind, I done that after that game.
Would he come back at you?
No, there was no argument. I just says, this is Rangers, this is no. I think at that stage, I'd need to look back. I think we were maybe fourth. Or even fifth in the league, I can't remember, I'll need to look at it. But no disrespect to Inverness Cali, listen, they had good players, no doubt, but we're Rangers here. And we're dropping points against teams that we should be beating. So, I let it out a wee bit, and there was no arguments, nothing in the dressing room. After I had said that, we flew back down to Glasgow. We were playing Motherwell, I think. That was the next game. And I come in the day of the Motherwell game, or the day before the Motherwell game, because we would go to the hotel.
Right.
I come in, put my bag down, Yves Coulou. This is how simple it is. Yves Coulou, who was assistant manager, comes in, he's like, Paul wants to speak to you, or the manager, I can't even remember what he called him. I was like, no problem. Into his office, I went in to sit down. Don't sit down. That's you finished. You won't play with Rangers again. In 5-10 seconds, I was like, no, please leave.
Oh, just because you said that after again?
That was it. So I walked out. Walked in and got my bag. And I was a complete daze, because the boys at that stage were, some were getting changed, some were walking in, some were up having lunch, coming back down. And I had to get out, because my head had gone. I would have done something stupid. You know what I mean? I'm no scared to admit that. I probably would have. So I had to get my bag and get out as quick as possible. And people were shouting on me, where are you going? Where are you waiting? So just I ignored everybody, because I had to get out of that situation I was in.
See how you said you'd let that build up?
Aye.
Why did you let... See if it was a Walter Smith or an Alex McLeish?
I asked myself... it's a great question.
Thanks, mate.
Great question. I'm surprised that you've asked that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Was it maybe because I had seen no struggle, but I'd seen him no realise how big Rangers was, you know what I mean? I wanted I was there. I wanted them to do well. Like any Rangers manager that comes in, I was desperate for him to do well.
So was he just approachable?
No, I couldn't approach him.
No?
No, I couldn't talk. No, he was... But again, listen, I've come across loads of coaches in my... And some managers that are not as approachable as others. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a different way of working. But... very within himself.
Right.
But I just think he came and he got a shock to his system, how big Rangers was and how big a job it was that he had to do, and the expectations of the crowd. I mean, when you play with Rangers or Celtic, it's 24/7, no matter if you're going out to buy a pint of milk or you're going whatever, you're going out with the missus for something to eat, everybody knows who you are. And I think he was like, wow, what is this all about? But it annoys me. I keep seeing things Still says about it. But I actually met Yves Calleau at a game 2 or 3 years later, an Old Firm game. I was up in the club deck, had a conversation with him, like nothing had happened. And I actually think Paul Le Guin had done an interview and had mentioned that there was no issues or whatever. But that's the way it ended. It was, again, it's something that gets stuck with you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That people say, oh, you caused uproar. Listen, if I was guilty, I was guilty of one thing, and that was being passionate after a game.
Mm-hmm.
And letting it build up inside me.